Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh, I guess I am okay at what I do. I guess 8 people agree that I'm not too bad.
All right, hey, it's Jim here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick Foster is off today, but I have 2 exciting guests here on the show. Please welcome Nora. Hello, Nora.
Hello.
And her father, John Hyman. Hello, John.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great. You guys are out there in Cleveland, out in the Buckeye State where I used to live.
The home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
There
you go. Rock and Roll capital of the world, so they tell us.
Absolutely. And I just want to set this up here for the listeners real quick. So Nora's going to talk about this really exciting music competition she's been in. And I think the listeners are going to get a real kick out of this. But first, let me just set up a little bit of background on how we came to know the talents, become familiar with the talents of Nora. So John here was a listener of the podcast. You've been listening for some time, right?
Right.
And back when the pandemic started and everybody was stuck at home all the time, we decided, Patrick and I decided to do something every Friday night. We called it the Friday Night Hootenanny. And it wasn't anything that we recorded for the podcast or anything like that. Some of you participated in this. We just invited people to hang out with us on Zoom every Friday night because everybody was stuck in the house for a long time. And so every Friday night we get together, we talk, we laugh, and we would play songs for each other. Several people would come on and play songs. And so John heard about this through our social media. And he said, my daughter is very talented musician, singer, and songwriter, and she would love to come on and play some songs for you, which she did quite frequently for a while there, probably almost every week. And we would usually have her go second in the program. Patrick would kick us off, and then we'd have Nora go, because she had to get to game night, as I recall, family game night, so she couldn't stay on too long. And she would just blow people away with like songs that she wrote, and her voice was beautiful, and she would play guitar, and it was just amazing. We all loved it, and it was a wonderful thing. It brought such joy to the group at that time when we needed it, Nora. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you, though, now I know you are now a senior in high school. So how old were you back when we were doing that? So like, what was that? 4 years ago? 4 years ago.
Okay. I was in eighth grade. So I was 14 or 15,
yeah,
depending on my birthday.
Or 14.
Oh, really?
If you're in eighth grade, yeah, you would have been 13. You were 13 when COVID started.
Sounds right. I think you were 13, so 13 when you started doing it.
Obviously, math is not your strong suit. So
no, it's not. That's why I'm not in a math sphere.
So what motivated you to want to, join our little goofy Zoom meetings and play songs for us?
Well, I was in a band at the time, which I'm no longer a part of. But and we weren't able to do anything. I mean, we didn't play shows super frequently, but we still got together and played music. I did School of Rock, which was also getting together and playing music with people. And I just kind of missed doing that. So it was an opportunity. I didn't plan on it becoming a regular thing. So I was like, I'm 13. Nobody else here is 13. This might be a little weird.
Right.
But it wasn't weird. It was fine. So I loved doing it every week.
It was great. And sometimes, I think most of the time, you played original songs, right? So you were writing a lot of songs back then.
Not as much anymore. Yeah. I used to do an original and a cover.
Yeah.
Each time.
Well, take us back even further, I guess. When did you start writing songs?
Probably it was a little bit over COVID.
Okay. So right around that time.
Before.
Okay.
The first song I ever wrote was for my band called Good Times. First like official song. I'm sure I've written other things that didn't get as far. And I wrote a couple more songs for that band, maybe like 2 or 3. And then I started writing solo stuff. Yeah, probably around February, March of 2020.
And were they all kind of songs that, I guess, were about like your experiences as a kid and that kind of stuff?
They were mostly about this one boy. a lot of songs about him.
Do you want to finish that story off?
What do you mean?
That you then went and dated the boy that you wrote all these songs about for like three years.
And then these awful, awful songs about this boy, about how mean he was. And I dated him for 3 years and I broke up with him. And I thought after I broke up with him, I had so many ideas for songs, but I have nothing.
No?
Creatively dreamed. Oh. No, I'll get there eventually. Yeah. I've been doing lots of covers recently.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Well, yeah. You know, songs about relationships, you know, you can't go wrong with that, right? That's that's proven winner.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite song I've written, though, is the most recent one I've written, because I haven't written a song in like a year and a half, is called Ducks That Don't Quack. And it's about my bedroom. I wrote it when I had COVID. It's about all the little knickknacks in my room.
Oh, nice.
So that one's not about relationships. Right. So that one's my favorite.
Nice, nice, nice. John, what motivated you to suggest that Nora join those weekly Zoom sessions we had?
That she was missing music, and I thought it would be a really cool just outlet for her to get together with some like-minded music folks, since her taste in music skews much more in line with what we all listen to than what her peers listen to. Just to get together with some like-minded music folks to give her an outlet to share her music, because we were stuck at home and it sucked and she had no one to get together with and play music, and I knew she missed it. So I thought it would be an awesome just outlet for her once a week to share and listen and just have a little bit of that camaraderie that she was missing from her musical tribe.
Yeah. It was amazing. And she's very humble about her abilities here, because sometimes she would sing songs and she would say, yeah, I just wrote this like this afternoon.
Oh yeah, I remember doing that.
Yeah. And they were great. They were great songs. Yeah, we were all just blown away by that. So when did you realize, John, that, you know, that she had this, let's just focus right now on the songwriting. I mean, that there's one thing to be a musician, but, you know, being a songwriter is like, you know, a different skill set, really. So when did you notice that talent in her?
Yeah, when she started playing me her stuff that she was writing over COVID is when I really kind of realized that she kind of had that gift for kind of writing and composing a song. I mean, we knew that she was had musical talent since she was probably like 7 or 8 years old and started playing music, mm-hmm. but to actually go from like playing other people's stuff to like writing her own stuff. And look, at as a parent to a teenager, to get that like glimpse into your teenager's head is so wonderful. Cause some, I mean, we're special because Nora shares with us regardless, but to get that glimpse into kind of what's really going on in her head through her songs is really cool for a parent to see. And to have that kind of insight into what's going on with their teenager. But yeah, when we started listening to what she was writing, I think we realized pretty quickly that she was talented in what she was doing.
Okay. Now here's what we want to get to. The high school rock off. This is something you're involved in right now. So,
yes.
So, tell people what this is.
Okay. So this is an event that's been going around in Cleveland, since a very long time. It's gone on for 27 years.
Okay.
And most recently it's been at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's like bounced from venue to venue based off of the popularity of it. So you get 30, 40 bands. This year it's 30. The last time I participated, it was 40 bands. They come from all over the place, primarily from Cleveland. But like this year, there's a girl from Florida. There's a band from Pennsylvania. There is a band from Missouri that was in the week I was in. People from all over the place. And they come in and you get to play a 15-minute set, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for lots and lots of people. And then you get judged by three different categories. There's musicality, originality, and I think like stage interaction, like audience participation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, dynamic, stuff like that. And then if you're one of the top four artists of the semifinals week, you get to go on to the finals, which consists of 12 bands, and then you get to perform again. So I will be getting to do that shortly. I'm very excited.
So you have moved on to the finals at this point?
I have. I performed this point was probably 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Played a little 15-minute set. I did an original Boys Like You. I did my cover of Toxic by Britney Spears. Another original, which Ducks Don't Quack. And then I topped the whole night off because I actually chose to go last with White Rabbit.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
It's hard for me to be objective and I'm going to make her blush. But it was, I mean, it was the best 15 minutes of music I've ever heard her play. Wow. She just brought the house down at the Rock Hall. So it was a good parent moment, a good music moment, and she definitely deserved to move on. She was easily in the top four bands to perform that night. So
that is so cool.
I'm excited to watch her perform at the finals.
I didn't think I was one of the top four. Apparently everybody that I brought to the Rock Off was like, yeah, Nora's gonna make it, and I was like, I don't think I'm gonna make it, guys.
There's that modesty. We love the modesty. That's the modesty is good. It's okay.
I don't know, there were really good bands.
Were you playing with a band or were you playing solo?
Just me. I have my...
Wow.
I bought a new guitar, kind of for the Rock Off. It wasn't intentional. I walked in the Guitar Center to get a shaker to record my song. And I walked out with a guitar because it was really pretty and I wanted it. I called my dad and I was like, hey, there's a really pretty guitar here. It's on sale. Can I get it? And I expected him to say no. And he was like, you should get it. It's like, okay, I guess I'll get it.
What makes it pretty?
It's the Fender electric acoustic one. That's cool to have because I have a Tele and I have an acoustic. So it's like a mixture of both of my guitars.
What color is it?
She's very pretty. She is like yellow. I think the color is called like butterscotch, technically. Oh,
that sounds great.
Okay. Yes, big fan.
Okay, so it's you on electric acoustic guitar. And that's it. So, man, so even better that you advanced because you were, based on what you were saying, it sounded like they're like full bands playing, right?
Oh, yeah. There was like one band, they had like a trumpet player. Most of the band's like 4 to 5 members, but every year there's a couple that are humongous and have a bunch of people in them.
But you have played in rock bands, right? I mean, you were saying you went to school of rock and played in bands and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, in 2020, I had two bands participate in the same event, Fake ID and Social Cues, which Social Cues was created just to do the Rock Off. Just a bunch of friends I had from School of Rock, and we were like, we should do a band. We did not get to the finals, but Fake ID got to the finals.
Nice. Okay. Now, when you say you play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so what is that like? I mean...
It's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I am lucky to have had the opportunity to play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame many, many times, more times than most people can say they've even visited. I probably played there more times than I visited, but it's just you. There's like that giant stage. I don't even know how to describe it. There's like the cafe area and the main floor.
It's in like the main. It's in like the main lobby of the Rock.
Yeah, and there's like this humongous like stage. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
With a giant, you know, a giant light rigging above it, and
yes,
and it's the best PA system money can buy. It's super cool.
Yes.
It's a very big stage for one person, but it was a good time. Most people would think that if you're going last, you'd be nervous the whole night, but yeah. I just kind of forgot I was playing. Like, I was only really nervous when I was backstage and the band before me was on. So I was like, oh, I gotta go get on stage in like 5 minutes when they're done. My dad was more nervous than I was, which is normally how it is.
I understand.
But I don't get nervous anytime she performs except at the Rock Off. And I don't know why. I think it's because I want her to get like the validation from the judges, and a competition so goofy anyway. It's like, who knows what anybody likes and whatever.
Right.
But I just think I want her to have the validation that she's like as good as we think she is. And I just get really, it just makes me really nervous.
And you said there's like 1,000 people there?
Not watching? At the one, that's at the finals. The finals pretty much sell out always. It was pretty bare bones last time, I thought, at least.
There was
so there's people who left before me. Which is kind of cruddy, but
yeah, there was probably 400 or 500 people throughout the night. The finals on March 2nd it sells out every year, will absolutely sell out. And I think a sellout there, I want to say, is like 1,200 tickets is what they'll sell. Yeah.
So that will be exciting. I am very excited for that. I mean, that's a lot of people.
That's like the 9:30 club out here. That's about 1,200 people in that place. Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be the most people I've ever played for.
So I want to get into that a little bit. I know you play some gigs around Cleveland or the Cleveland area, right? So what kind of places do you normally play?
Bars.
She says at 17. Bars. Yeah.
Bars.
Yeah.
We have these. Is Crocker Park an outlet mall, Dad? What do you call
like
that?
Yeah, like an outlet. Like it's a lifestyle center.
Okay. That's a fancy name. I play at like 2 of those. We're just like basically outdoor malls. A couple of restaurants. I guess the bar/restaurants.
Yeah, the breweries.
Breweries, winery. Well, not the wine cellar isn't a winery. They just sell wine.
Yeah, wine shops, breweries.
Yeah, breweries are a common thing now, you know, for live music, for sure. What are those experiences like? Do you have to sort of win over the crowd, right?
I kind of just have fun. I just imagine them getting paid to practice. That's kind of how I do my... There is this one place I played over the summer. I booked there 3 times. I think every single time I played there, it was empty, which was great. It was super because they still paid me how much they were going to. And I was just playing for my mom and my dad, and I got food on the house, and I got to play 3 hours worth of music with nobody watching, which for most people, they wouldn't like that. But I took it as an opportunity to try out new things.
That's smart. That's smart. Yeah.
I try to not take it super duper seriously, which I guess kind of that might scare some people. Like, there's people I've been in bands with who it's like, you know, they're like, got to do this. You have to do that. Everything has to be perfect. And I just kind of like, it's fun. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. So
is that the kind of attitude you take to the Rock Off, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So no difference in a, you know, more pressure packed situation like that.
I mean, I would like to win because the prize money I'm going to use towards college. I promised that towards my parents. I said if I win, whatever portion of money I get will go towards college. So I'm using it like a scholarship. So it'd be great to win.
But the money's not even the best prize this year, though.
Oh, you do. You get to open for a Live Nation concert, which is really cool because Alanis Morissette is coming to Cleveland, and I would like to open for Alanis Morissette.
Oh, my gosh.
They're also this year...
The induction ceremony. You get to play at the induction ceremony. I forgot about that. That's also super duper cool. So there's lots of cool opportunities, but my winning for me was just getting to the finals. That's the part that was most exciting to me. Just like, because it is validating to be like, oh, I guess I am okay at what I do. I guess 8 people agree that I'm not too bad. And then there's a bunch of people who couldn't come the first time because of conflict. So it just makes it like more of my friends will be able to be there the next time. Got to record a song. So I'm kind of just going to have fun. I've crafted my set. So I like my set. I'm going to have a great time. That's my philosophy.
That's great. So when are the finals? They're March 2nd?
March 2nd. Yes.
And if anybody, any listeners here are in the Cleveland area or want to travel from wherever they are, they have to get tickets ahead of time?
Yes, it will be sold out. You
rock
can
hall,
go.
Yeah, rockhall.com/rockoff. There's a link for tickets.
And use code Nora, N-O-R-A-H, if you're going to buy tickets.
Got that. All right.
It's $20 for adults and $15 for non-adults. And you get admission to the museum as well. So basically, it's like a discounted ticket to the museum, just on a really busy day.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
But it's fun. You still get to see everything.
That's
so
cool. Well, I would hope that our Midwestern contingent of listeners would be interested in that. Go and cheer on Nora, everybody. Please do that. Woo. Now, where are you going to take this? Rock off aside, what's your plan for, you know, rock and roll greatness? You know, after this is over.
Funny story. I actually don't want to be a professional musician.
Okay.
Which always shocks people. I don't think I've ever been interested in it. My dad can jump in, but I don't. Have I, Dad? I ever want to be a musician?
No. You've always said you want. You can explain why.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I want to be a teacher. That's hopefully what I'm going to go study in college. I also want to do something with French because I've been speaking that for a while. And I want to keep music as a hobby for the same reasons that I think I said earlier is I want it to be fun. And music school sounds like a lot of work. And I'd rather put that work somewhere else. Because I like doing what I do. I don't want to get the passion taken away from me. There's some people who like music school is their dream. Like I have a friend, Ethan, who is going to Berkeley and like he lives, breathes, eats, sleeps, drums. Like it's all, and he's great at it. And he loves that kind of environment where he's constantly being pushed harder. But I like a more chillax environment.
There you go.
And yeah.
And are you and your dad still doing your podcast?
We are, not as frequently as we used to. It's kind of now whenever we have something to talk about. So we'll do an After the Rock Off one when I commit to a college, probably a couple over the summer.
Okay. And what is that podcast called?
It's the Nora and Dad Show.
Very clever name.
Yeah.
The Nora and Dad Show. So people can go listen to that wherever they're listening to this, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So check that out, peoples. Nora, it's always a delight. We haven't spoken in some time, but it was always a delight when you would come on and play and talk with us. And like I said, we were all just so impressed. And I think we were not only impressed with what you were doing musically, but you just, you know, you were just such a pleasant person to have on there.
Thank you.
And it made us all, you know, happy. And so that was nice. Thank you very much, Nora. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you.
All right. Yes. Now, I want to tell people again, if you can, go check out Nora in the finals of the Rock Off at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on March 2nd. And you can get those tickets online in advance. And if you can't go, well, just, you know, have her in your thoughts on March 2nd. And I think psychically,
please,
we'll all be there with you and helping you out. Okay.
We will feel the vibes coming through the glass pyramid of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Is there a song we should play out with here? Is there something we should put on?
I believe my dad has Boys Like You that he could send to you. Because it's not
be
on anywhere, but he stripped some audio that you can play out with.
Okay, that'd be great.
Perfect.
All right, thanks very much. It's Rock in the Suburbs, and we'll talk to you all later.
1,000 words on a page in my notebook. Hope that's not too much for you to read. Trying hard to forget it, but I really can't leave my mind, no matter how hard I try. All the hours I should have been sleeping, all the hours I wasted talking to you. Now I see it was so useless.
like you, cause it's stupid. Feel right in, and I need to shut up. That sent to my friends. Honestly, my storage should have been full by then.
The best part was that I got to go goof around with my friends before the rock off, before I was playing at least. We like went around the whole museum because you get free admission to the museum with your ticket. So we got to go around, see a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Do you get to try on like Stevie Nicks, you know, clothes and stuff like that? Or
I wish,